New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.
Welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my producer, Heather Henderson.
Hello!
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the interwebs, and tattoos on the arms of lonely sailors. My guests today are Matt Kirshen, Glenn Wool, Johnny Damm, and James Inman. You know these guys from showbiz.
We're also on the arms of lonely sailors as we speak.
We have He's James Inman Skyping in, actually. Jim is on Skype. Jim, thanks for being here.
Okay, thanks for having me.
All right, man. You're in kind of an echoey room. Are you still living in a closet?
No, maybe I've got my volume turned up too high.
You're fine, man. I'm just giving you crap. Don't get edged out too quickly. Listen, we only have a couple of rules to the show, guys. If you're a listener who's ever, well, first of all, as Ariane Shireen, the editor of my book, Atheist Guide to Christmas, once said, you can plug anything you want as long as you can work it into the conversation. Also, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content. Cunt, spick, nigger, faggot, cotton picking, finger licking, baby raping, cock sucking, Christ tard with AIDS. That should send him running. All right. So,
I thought that was my intro.
No. Only part of that is your intro.
A friend of mine, smashed their radio last week and is offended by that.
That's Matt Kirshen, by the way. I want to start also with, first of all, Johnny Damm.
Yes, sir.
Tell us what you believe.
What I believe, I actually am, I'm more of a, I had a little trouble with this one earlier, actually.
Yeah. There we go, I think.
No, that was the wrong one. There we go.
All right.
Yeah, I'm more of the belief of, I don't believe in an all-knowing being that watches me masturbate. I believe more in a, I'm more of
what
the.
What more does it need to know if it's already seen you masturbate?
Yeah, no, I do believe in ghosts. I do believe that. There's a possibility of unresolved issues, maybe, or whatever, that a spirit sticks around. But I don't think that there's some universal God that's directing it.
Let me be clear on this.
Yeah.
You believe in the spirit.
I believe, yeah, I guess you would say I believe in an energy that can exist outside the mortal coil.
Okay, all right. I'm not sure what that makes you in a technical sense. We'll get
probably
to that.
An asshole, but that's what I've been called.
There's other reasons for that. Glenn.
Yes.
Tell me what you believe, if you want to. You don't have to.
I believe that there is an all-knowing being who has been put here solely to watch me masturbate.
James Inman.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you know that loud typing you're doing?
Take off the tap shoes, Inman.
My alcoholic loser friend is trying to Skype me while I'm on Skype right now with you.
Yeah, here's how you deal with that. Don't type back. All right, now. Now, Glenn.
Speaking of watching somebody masturbate. How you doing, Inman?
Now, Glenn. Go ahead, Jim.
Go ahead.
Jim.
I know you can't see me, so I've got my dick out right now.
I encourage that. God is not watching. Glenn, really, honestly, do you have any particular beliefs? Do you consider yourself atheist or
no,
agnostic?
I'd say agnostic.
Okay. Cool. How about you, Matt?
I'd consider myself an atheist.
Yeah. You're kind of a hard... But you're a J-theist.
I'm a... Yeah, if you mean formerly Jewish, raised Jewish, missing the bits, added the other bits.
Right. No, I meant you don't believe in a god named Jay.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right. I was about to have to get my penis out as well.
But you'll eat bacon.
I'll eat bacon. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Wait a minute.
I will eat bacon.
Was there a time when you wouldn't?
I don't think so. I don't think there was ever a time when I wouldn't.
Well, now, you know, told me that there was a period in your life. I mean, your mom actually buries shit in the backyard, right?
She does, but, you know, we're not allowed to talk about that in public.
Right, right.
No, Yeah, my family's in that sort of middly Jewish sort of level where they won't cook bacon in the home, but then they'll go out and feast on it.
Really?
The house is kosher. That's the rule. You know, the house goes to heaven. That's all that counts.
So do they think they're tricking God?
Yeah.
That's what they think.
That's the way it works. Basically, it's all about loopholes.
I see.
It's all about
masturbating outside of the house.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're not allowed to do that inside the house, but outside, everything's fair game.
Another example of what's horribly wrong with religion. It's convincing Jews to go out and masturbate in public.
With bacon.
To be fair, we didn't need that much convincing.
It was more of a dare, wasn't it?
Now, Jim, what do you believe?
It was more of one of those dares like, hey, who dares me to go out and masturbate? I hope no one does. Fingers crossed.
All right, Jim, what do you believe?
I'll take that as a nod.
What I believe?
Yeah, tell us what you believe.
Okay, I believe that everything is mind, that I create my own reality, and I think I'm a bigger atheist than all you guys put together, because not only do I not believe in God, I don't believe in an objective reality. I only believe in the mind, and that I see the world the way I think it's the way it is.
Amen.
And on top of that, as a Buddhist, I don't even believe in a self, because I don't even think myself exists. So therefore, I'm a bigger atheist than all of you.
James, if you created all this, why aren't you more successful?
I didn't know we were measuring dicks.
I think you should think yourself up a little crown.
So now Glenn believes in Jim.
I mean, I've got somebody to acknowledge my own existence, even though I deny that you exist. Yeah.
Why'd you make me say that? That was hurtful.
I don't know. I mean, no. I don't know what I believe. I do like religion.
Now we know. Oh, now we've gotten
30
to the
seconds in, man. Yes. Couldn't you have held up for a little longer? 30 seconds, he says a Hail Mary and apologizes and feels Catholic guilt.
Jim has no idea what he believes. It's always been the case as long as I've known him.
That's why we love him.
Yeah, I mean, he vacillates from, I'm Buddhist, how do we know we all exist, fuck you. And do you have any idea how many books I've read, asshole? That's where he goes. That's who Jim is, fundamentally.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about being an atheist. You don't have to read books, go to meetings, or respond to messages from the Pope.
Precisely.
Right.
It's quite nice to respond to those messages every so often. He is insistent.
He is now, since we got the new one in.
Yeah.
Now, the old one.
Now, we started out.
Forget a lot.
We started out with, you mentioned ghosts. I want to come back to that.
Sure.
Let's make this our first topic. We're going to make this our first topic. I'm really intrigued by the idea that you don't believe in a god necessarily.
No.
But you believe in ghosts.
Well, okay, when I say ghosts, I'm not talking about the kind that say boo. I'm talking more just, you know, a spirit, you know, when something happens, leaves the body. Yeah, maybe it missed the bus to wherever they're supposed to go and it's just hanging out for a while.
Well, I might be joking.
I've had experiences is why I say that.
So, well,
do I believe I'll become a ghost? Probably not.
What?
I don't think I would become
a ghost.
Well,
is there any reason?
I owe too many people money to come back and hang around.
I think owing people money is a great way to become a ghost.
Jim,
go ahead, Jim.
I'm going to put my two cents in here. I have seen a ghost myself.
Where?
Also.
When? Explain it.
Do you really want me to tell you how I saw the ghost?
No, yes, I want you to pretend like you saw a ghost, and then we're not going to bother you to explain.
Show us on the doll where the ghost touched you.
Right, okay. At the time, I was, I had the entire Tao Te Ching memorized, and I had parts of the Bhagavad Gita memorized. And I was in this hotel room. It was a really, really old hotel room, and I was kind of depressed, and I didn't have anything to do, so I thought I would meditate for as long as I possibly could, just for the hell of it. So I sat and I meditated for about
I can already tell you what happened.
No, I meditated on nothingness. I mean nothingness. I wasn't asking for anything. I didn't believe in ghosts.
So you weren't specifically meditating on ghosts?
No, I don't believe
in ghosts.
Sounds
like you're just
in
L.A. for pilot season.
Yeah, I was meditating on nothingness for like an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes. And then I just slowly fell asleep. And in the middle of the night...
He took a
in the
nap.
Middle of the night, I thought somebody was coming into my room, and I look up from the bed, and this thing that looked like an alien started coming at me, and I just started screaming, like, ah, get the fuck out of here! And I was, like, fully awake, and then I turn, I see this light on my shoulder, and I turn my head, and I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm talking to this light on my shoulder, like I'm talking to you. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, do you need a guardian angel? She... And I go, I guess. I said it,
Jim,
just like that.
Jim, if anybody ever asks you if you need a guardian angel, the answer is yes, please, now.
Jim, are you sure? Well, I don't think that was a ghost. I think that was an infomercial.
Well, right. And I'm gonna let Jim finish the story, but I want to jump in and I want to say, Jim spent many times in my house, many days, many weeks. He stayed with me many times. I've never entered a room when that's not how he reacted. He always reacts that way when you come into a room.
Are you still entering the room on your white sheets? And if so, are you going to confess to what you're actually doing of an evening?
All right, Jim, okay, go ahead.
I wasn't on drugs or anything. I wasn't drinking at the time. I was completely sober. And I was talking to this light on my shoulder. Like, I go, what do you want? And I think I said, what's your name? And she goes, you wouldn't be able to pronounce it. Just call me Anne. And I go, is that it? She goes, yeah, that's it, basically.
Wow, so ghosts are a bit like Chinese people who move to America and pick a different... I'm Johnny Wong.
That one's already taken.
All right. And then I'm just telling you about my ghost story. And then I went back to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, I remembered it. And I remembered I was awake and that was not a dream. Basically, I think it was just something in my mind. But it was a very crazy, amazing thing that happened in my mind.
Right. Like the time that you left your body and you floated over me in a hospital bed and you cried and wept because I had been so horribly disfigured by this accident I was in.
That was in my mind too. Yeah, that was in my mind.
Right.
Yeah.
So now we know that ghosts don't exist as far as what...
No, they don't exist. They only exist in my mind.
But we have
it must be crowded in there.
We've just established the whole world is in your mind, sir.
It's crowded in everyone's mind.
Hold everybody. We're going to do station identification.
Yeah,
come right
okay.
back to Glenn. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's episode sponsored in part by the best evidence we have. All right, back to Glenn. Glenn, what were you saying?
Sort of what James was saying. That's my biggest problem with atheism is that it tends to say I don't believe in organized religion, or that's the stance atheists have. But just not believing in those doesn't mean that you don't believe in a higher power and something that's never been reported in a major religion. Is, you know, just as likely to be the higher power than something that people have talked about.
Well, first of all, I want to correct what you said. There's a slight inaccuracy or error in the way you put it. I don't know that you meant it this way. You might have, you might not have. It's not, atheists don't say or believe that we don't disbelieve in religion. In fact, we know religion exists. It's the claims of religion. I really want to be very clear, and I'm not trying to be cheeky. I'm serious.
Yeah, no, I understand what you mean.
All of the claims that religion makes, and every religion I've ever delved into, and I've delved into many, they're all fallacious, they're all bullshit, and none of them carry any weight beyond
sure.
the human experience. I mean, the closest religious experiences I've ever heard described to me that I think are accurate to a degree that someone actually experienced them is Jim Inman's stories. And I'm not kidding.
No, but that's what I'm saying, that it's not based on an organized religion. It's based on a much more organic thing.
Yeah.
And that's where I think a lot of atheism falls down for me, is that it's people going, I'm not a Catholic, I'm an atheist. It's like, well, no, you just don't believe in that specific religion. And the religion or the higher power could have never been spoken about and just be there.
But all the people who identify as atheists, Matt sitting here as well, and myself, Heather, we all consider all religions to be bullshit. It's not
sure,
a specific,
sure. But I'm not talking about the ones you've heard of, but they're talking about the unspoken ones. I think the question I will ask to you on atheism is: do you have a soul?
No.
You have no soul?
None.
You've never seen proof of a soul?
You know what? I'll tell you a story. Here's an atheist telling you a story that I don't believe happened the way it happened. But my sister swears She's a pathetic liar, by the way. But she swears, and it's actually corroborated, which bothers the hell out of me, by some people in the room, that they saw when my grandmother passed away something lift out that they described as like steam or apparition kind of thing out of her body the moment she passed away.
To be fair, she was boiled to death.
She was boiled to death, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I've heard that. That's
it's a family tradition.
I hate that I have to tell that story, but that's...
Yeah, but they've talked about that throughout history. Hinduism, there's stuff in some of their scriptures where they actually talk about that.
But why isn't it... I don't care about any scriptures. They're all bullshit. My question is, why isn't it recorded? Why don't we have a video of this happening that we can see isn't doctored or what have you?
Because remember when I was talking about how everything's in my mind? That's why I think some of this stuff doesn't pop up on video, because it's a psychic thing. It's not a
no, it's
physical,
not psychic. It's not psychic. If it's in your mind, it's psychotic. That's what it is.
Right. It's a psychotic thing.
You're close. You got to get the otic
in
there.
Yeah. Call it what you want. You could say psychotic. I say psychic. It's a thing that person perceives on their own. There's
right.
No,
an individual experience.
You say psychic, I say psychotic. Let's call the whole thing off.
You're looking
right. But I'll give you an example. Like, if one person takes DMT, he's going to have a really intense experience. He's going to see it for himself, but nobody else is going to see that.
But there's no magic in that. Glenn, what were you going to say?
If you're looking for proof of a soul, you might not be... You may look to people's deeds and their actions opposed to looking for a tangible thing that you can see.
Yeah, but now you're not describing something that religion talks about at all. You're completely redefining what a soul is by religious standards.
Right, no, question. I'm saying that you can wipe away all the talk of religion. It doesn't matter.
What?
You can't tell me that people don't have souls. I can feel it. I can see it.
What kind of deeds would you ascribe to a soul as opposed to just human instinct or conditioned reactions or pack mentality, familial support?
Yeah, no, those things can happen, but you can't sense when somebody's put a lot of soul into something?
That's not the word that I would apply to it. A lot of effort,
labor,
a lot
of love,
care,
sweat.
A lot of labor, a lot of joy, a lot of... there's a lot of words that work here, but soul denotes something like ghosts that float around afterwards.
No, it doesn't. You know what I mean when I say soul.
I know what you mean when you say soul, but I would love to influence our world and our society and the listeners and people to abandon words that suggest supernatural things like evil. You know what I mean?
It could be more organic than you think.
I know that you probably believe that. I get that. I don't believe it. I don't think it's...
Sure.
Yeah, that's all.
It doesn't matter.
Inman, I'm sorry, we're interrupting Inman. Go ahead, Jim.
Forget about the word soul. Like, all right, say somebody has a stroke, and you know them as a certain type of person. They have a stroke on the right side of their brain. And then after their stroke, you talk to them, and they're a completely different person. They don't seem really there. And when he says soul, I think he's talking about a combination of consciousness... brain. I mean, it's like a machine. There is no one soul. It's a part. What am I trying to say? We are made up of parts, and you can't point to one part and say there's the soul. It's like pointing at a train and saying the train is that little wheel right there. No, the train is a sum of its parts, just like the brain. The brain is a sum of its parts.
Okay.
I'd like to throw a C.S. Lewis quote out real quick, if I may, just because I heard this the other day and it really struck me. And I'm not a like
I was hoping to get at least 4 or 5 episodes under my belt before some asshole quoted C.S. Lewis. But
did I not say I was an asshole up front? Did I not?
You did indeed.
Okay, there we go.
I stand corrected.
You don't have a soul. You don't have a body. You have a soul.
Yeah, I think it's just absolute bunk, and I think that it supports horrible ideas. That's what I think. And Matt, I'm sorry, Heather.
I have a question. I've been trying to get this question in here. Now, I have an experience.
We got to get a preamp in here and another mic.
We're going to get
one day. I have a question. I had an experience as well where I saw what I thought was an angel. I was fucking, and the guy was on top of me, and I didn't even have an orgasm or anything like that, but I was having a great time, and I opened my eyes.
Didn't.
I didn't, I'll tell you what. And I opened my eyes, and up above us, I saw this man, heavenly angel-looking Gabriel-type guy in white gown, robe, floating above us while we were having
sex. What do you
sex.
Think it was? Were you high or were
no,
you drunk?
No, I was young and I was sober and was just having sex. It was my brain.
Yeah, that's what you think it was?
I think it was my brain, but it was very vivid.
What would it take to convince you otherwise?
What would it take to convince me otherwise?
Do we got to get that guy back in here?
Yeah, I would like to see him again or, you know, at least have...
No, but the
a
memory.
C.S. Lewis quote might do it.
A physical touch of some sort or some sort of, you know, say my name, look me directly in my eyes.
Well, what do you think that was, Glenn? Honestly. I mean,
no idea. No, I'm just wondering what it would take, yeah. You know, if you're seeing things like that,
yeah.
Why do you not think it's real?
Because I have a very vivid imagination. I'm a creative person, and I make up shit a lot. I could understand why, you know, by me, you know, going into
but
my
why
head,
do you, why do
my
you
eyes and seeing something like that?
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to think you're crazy. I mean, you saw, obviously you saw something, and you were in that. You know, you were pushing the envelope when it comes to. Like, you know, you weren't in a normal waking consciousness. You were in a sexual consciousness.
Correct.
So, it
where
must
were you, by the way?
Me? In
yeah.
bed.
In bed where? What home? What?
My
where?
Mom's house.
Okay, that's. I know what happened now.
You see, I'm on a white
enough rope. Questions, you can figure this
Mom,
shit out.
I'm sorry.
I think there was a guilt thing going on there.
Now, I'm wondering whether it could even also be just, you know, when you stare at one thing and then you stare at a white surface and you get the reverse image of that.
Yes.
Right. I would like to know what you guys think that was.
That's what I'm just wondering really, whether that was, you know, when I was just saying a second ago, when you stare at something for long enough and then you look at a white surface and you see the reverse image of it, because
yeah.
that image has been burned into your retina a little bit.
Are you sure it's just not the easiest thing to do is to not believe it?
Yeah. I was a skeptic back then as well, I guess.
Did you not believe it when it happened? In other words, believe that it was
I was
entertained
special. By it.
Interesting.
I thought it was special, and I was entertained that I could make myself see something as vivid as that. But.
Huh. Mm-hmm. I've been on mushrooms and had those kinds of experiences, and that's
I saw.
Sadly, I've never had a flashback.
I saw UFOs in New York in October.
I think this is so similar to what we're talking about.
No, this was on the news. 200 people saw it.
Tell me about it.
It was in Manhattan, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I rounded a corner. There was about 200 people on the street looking up in the air.
Yep.
And I thought it was street theater. Like, I thought they were trying to get me to look up, and then they would go, ha-ha!
200 people there for you.
Yeah. But then...
sinus waiver, please.
Yeah. I wonder how much Glenn has missed because he doesn't trust improv.
I think it's how much I've gained.
So how big was it?
If you visit the Edinburgh Festival enough times in a row, you learn to avoid that kind of shit. Like, yeah. The second I look at it, they're going to hand a flyer to me, and then I'm going to, next time I'm sat in a hotel room watching
I'll
a
bet
show.
Edinburgh is covered with UFOs.
Yeah.
No one will look.
So,
Glenn, tell me.
Yeah, they were.
Inman asked what size it was. How big?
Well, it's hard to say. They were about twice as far away as the planes that were flying by them, and they were silver orbs. Two of them connected and made a bigger one.
Yeah.
So the government story of they were balloons probably doesn't wash.
So you saw two
mating balloons?
There was four of them. There was four of them moving perpendicular in the sky. And then across the street, a sort of state elongated car
yep.
pulled up with two police officers as the escort, and behind them was an anti-sniper SUV with the flashing anti-sniper
right there.
Things going off. And the cops purposely did not look where everyone else was looking. They were just sort of leaning on their bikes, staring straight. And whoever was in the car never got out, and whoever was in the SUV never got out.
All right.
Oh, creepy.
Yeah. Wow. This
and
Jim
that,
lives for this shit.
That never made
in
the
fact,
news.
Before
but
we...
It did. It was on the news. You can look on the internet, and they had the actual footage of the orbs.
What was the date? Let's Heather look this up.
October...
Any photographs, either.
Just October
see,
UFO
they,
Manhattan.
They changed them. There used to be actual footage. It was really difficult to see. And then you see what's on there now, and it's just a bunch of balloons tied together floating around in the sky.
Three orbs, you say?
There was four. It'll be there.
You were, I assume Manhattan, you were sober. UFOs. You weren't drunk or high?
No, not drunk at all. Even to the point, I was there to meet my entertainment lawyer, and I watched them for a while, and then I went and met my lawyer, and he said, "What have you been doing today?" And I went, "I've been looking at the UFOs," and this is why he's just the coolest guy in the world. He just got up and went, "Let's go." Just walked out of his office. We got UFOs in Manhattan. Here we go. And he went and looked, and he went, "I have no idea what that is. You're right. That's UFO." So if anybody wants to challenge me on this, I do have it notarized.
What do you think? Well, wait a minute. Now, we're going to ask him what he thinks it is in just a moment. Right now, I want to say you're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's show is brought to you in association with a guy called Malcolm, who hooked us up with some cool shit.
Now,
before we move on, I want to say that our next topic...
Wait, I just have one question.
No, we're not going to move away from your topic, in fact. You sit tight for me. We have... great. We have pictures online. We're going to look at them in just a minute. Our next topic is nutty, retarded shit that my friend Inman falls for every single day. It's your call, Jim. You want to talk about crop circles, alien abduction, UFOs, or that guy who said he just wants to take a couple pictures and he'll make you famous?
Well, see, the UFO thing, I've never seen a UFO myself, but I did, the creepiest thing that happened to me is I've read UFO books my whole life, but I've never actually talked to someone that saw a UFO.
That's and, the reading the books isn't the creepiest thing that's ever happened to you.
reading them naked, that's a front runner.
I couldn't go to sleep. But one time, Dustin Kaufman, I was talking to Dustin, we were watching a... UFO documentary on History Channel. He goes, "I saw a UFO." I'm like, "Really? Did you really?" And he goes, "Yeah, I did. I was on acid at the time." He goes, no. He goes, wait. It was a party of about six of us, and three of us were on acid, and the other three were completely sober. I go, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I can call those people right now, and they'll call me back, and we can confirm it, but I'll never forget this." I go, "Okay, so call your friends." So he calls his sober friends on this one day, and she calls back. I go, "Okay, all right, did you see a UFO with Dustin Kaufman while he's tripping on acid?" And she goes, "Yes, I did." I go, "Were you completely sober?" She goes, "Yes, I was." I go, "Well, how big was it?" She goes, "It was huge. There was lights all around it. It was not a plane. It was not a helicopter. It was, you couldn't hear any sound. And it was just floating in the sky." And I'm talking to this girl personally, and she was describing something to me that she saw in her head, just like, you know, you would describe something to me. It's just a story. Right. It all boils down to a story.
But
it was a creepy story. I was like, "Oh, my God, I'm talking to a person that actually says they saw a UFO, and she said it was big."
Glenn,
and she goes, you know, and, of course, the other three people are on acid. Dustin, he remembers it, even though he was on acid.
All right, Glenn, what do you have to say?
But here's the question that I wanted to pose to you all earlier. If those were UFOs and they were aliens from...
Well, they were UFOs. We don't know.
Yeah,
they're unidentified.
Yeah, just like, yeah, that's an easy one.
If they were alien spacecraft and those beings had religion,
uh-huh,
what would your take on it be?
What would my take on it be?
Yeah, would you follow it?
Oh, I would worship...
African ones.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm a reasoned being. I need someone to show me why what they're claiming is true with actual evidence. So,
would you trust the evidence of these other beings?
I would say if they came with their increased, with their superior intelligence and knowledge, if they could use that to in some way present irrefutable proof of some creator and therefore some religion, then you take that on board. I think part of having a scientific mind is being willing to have any opinion you have challenged.
Well, nothing's absolute with a scientific mind.
But
I would also be very careful to see what happened with these aliens. For example, if this happened, I mean, we're assuming that we're actually going to interact with aliens now. Then we're going to watch them and see what they do and get to know them and maybe, you know, see them on Oprah. And the next thing you know, if these guys are going over, say, to the dog track and winning on every bet, then I'm going to figure out that they're actually just from the future. and they're traveling back in time and making claims that are fallacious, and they're just here for our money. I mean, what I mean is, I'm going to watch what happens.
Sure.
I'm going to study who they are, what they claim, and why they claim it, and I'm going to arrive at what I think is a logical explanation.
It softens it.
Softens what?
It softens the idea of accepting religion.
It doesn't for me. Nothing. The only thing that opens me up to whether or not there's a God or some other grand explanation for the universal existence, the only thing that opens me up to that is evidence. That's it.
Sure, but if you don't know where they've come from, your scope of what you'll accept as evidence would have to be adjusted also.
Sure.
Because you wouldn't know what they're capable
of.
But
it's absolutely true. If there's a fourth dimension and we can't understand it or comprehend
good point.
It, then we
yeah,
have a problem.
But
it's going to be
yeah,
hard
see,
to understand.
But that could be, you know, what if they proved that they were the ones who created us and that they were a creator?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. If that ever happens, I think all we're really talking about is a being that is higher evolved than we are. And I'm
but
sure
also
it's
that's not
be
what's meant by a creator, because then there's still the question of who created them or what created them.
Are you looking at time in a linear fashion, though? I don't think that's the way time works.
We're talking about aliens with religion, people.
Yeah, well, okay, here's the thing. Let's say that they did create us.
There's a good reason for that.
Then the theory is the Mayans came from aliens.
Right.
Okay, well, the Mayans, what did they do? They threw virgins in volcanoes. So if these guys come back and they did create us, they're going to look at us and go, why aren't you still throwing virgins in volcanoes?
Yeah. Really, Jim? Really? Really?
It might be aliens.
I told you. I have the question. I have the answer.
Okay, we want your answer, but we'd like you to mute your fucking phone, you jack off. You're on radio right
now. Keyboard.
Tapping away on your keyboard,
it sounded like you
masturbating
were taking a
while
weed
we're
earlier.
Talking, smoking pot, dropping acid, and fucking answering your phone. You jag.
And jagging off.
Yeah. All right. Okay, go ahead. I'm back.
Jim, what do you think of crop circles?
No, I was going to answer Glenn's
go,
question.
Go, answer the question.
Yeah. Okay, all right. My deal is, if aliens come down and they say they have a particular religion or a particular view on life, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe an alien. I'm not going to believe an angel. I'm not going to believe some guy that comes to me and says he's wise. I'm not going to believe the Buddha. I'm not going to believe Jesus. I'm going to believe what I see with my own eyes and I can experience in my own consciousness. Because in
how could
end,
you possibly believe any of that when you don't even believe that you exist?
Well, that's an esoteric doc.
No, it's your claim. I'm only saying what you said.
I'm not sure he exists either, though. I'm just hearing a voice, so it could be anybody.
That's kind of an explanation of consciousness. Is it's a sum of its parts. There's no one particular thing that you can call a soul.
Right.
But my other deal is, I'm only going to believe the stuff that I can see with my own eyes.
That's not true, Jim. I've known you for 100 fucking years, and you believe shit that I know you haven't seen with your own eyes. You've seen pictures of crop circles,
but
I could show you the method used to create the crop circle. I could recreate it for you with friends, with some board and some twine in a field while you're standing in the center of the fucking thing. And you'd say to me, how do we even know we're in a cornfield? I mean, that's what you would say.
It's not that I believe these things. I see them as possibilities. I don't see them as actual fact until I see it with my own eyes. Then I'll know it's fucking real. But a lot of stuff that I read,
I'll believe that from you when I see it with my own eyes.
A lot of stuff that I read, I go, I believe that's possible, but right. I don't know it's fact until I actually see it. There's a difference between thinking something's real and knowing it's real.
Yeah, but you can be tricked into any belief system.
Yeah, you can.
With atheism, too. I mean,
it's not a belief system.
Yes, it is. It's a lack of...
No, it's a
lack... You believe that there's no God.
It's dismissing belief systems. That's exactly
what it
is.
It's a philosophy.
It is a philosophy. There's no question about that.
Sure.
It's not a belief system.
It's an excuse to sleep in on Sundays.
Atheists don't believe in science. Atheists look at science. They learn about science, and they understand, and they gain knowledge.
Well, that's semantics, but it is an answer to the question. I mean, that's why I've always stayed agnostic, because I find with religion or atheism, you're answering a question that no one's asked you.
Everyone asks. In fact, everyone demands by threat of eternal hellfire in the Christian world.
Oh, they fuck demand those people. No, they're fucking
They demand that you believe or perish. And if you don't believe the way they believe, sometimes they will fly a fucking plane into a building to make their point. I mean, it's psychotic what's going on with some religions. It's horrific. Mm. Yeah. So I'm not. We're not just unsolicited saying go fuck yourself. We're saying stop fucking the world up. That's what a lot of atheists and
well,
me.
Well, yeah, but yeah. If that's what you're saying.
That is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's probably closer to your want than...
After 9/11, there's a lot of people that are down on religion. To me, religion is like the
What does 9/11 2001 have to do with down on religion, Jim?
You brought it up. You brought up 9/11 flying planes into buildings.
I'm asking you what you... But you just said, after 9/11, a lot of
after
people are down on religion.
A lot of people got
How are
mad
you connecting 9/11 2001 to people being down on religion? And I'm not challenging you. I'm really asking...
what I'm just giving you... That was done by Muslims, and a lot of Muslims had horrible backlash.
Okay, go ahead,
9/11.
Jim.
A lot of Sikhs. And
it
a
seems
lot
of to me that this
too.
Whole atheism movement started after 9/11 because a lot of people got pissed at religion.
That's not. I'm just not making the connection there. I don't believe that's accurate.
You just said that religion makes people fly planes into buildings.
What I said was one of the religions caused some people to do that. And what I believe is that religions encourage people to do horrific, horrific things to other people.
All of the major Holocausts were done by atheists.
No, they weren't. Not even close. First of all, Hitler was not an atheist.
Said Gesundheit once. That doesn't make him religious.
It opens the door for discussion.
Gut, pull it up for me. Gut, on the belt buckle of every SS soldier was God with us in German. It was absolutely, absolutely religious support.
Do you think Hitler was religious?
Absolutely, I do.
Now, what religion was Stalin?
I can't argue with you with Stalin. I will say
Stalin was an atheist. Yes,
I would say the difference between those is that they didn't do what they did in the name of atheism.
That's right.
Chairman Mao, what religion was he?
Well, yeah. Wait a minute. What you're suggesting? I'll even let you have for the sake of discussion. Hitler, just for the sake of discussion.
Okay. So
let's say he believed in zero God. Let's say it for the sake of discussion. That isn't the motivation for... Hold on, let me finish this. That's not the motivation for why Hitler killed the Jews. You've met Jews. Now listen.
I have no idea where it's going, but I can't wait to see.
He's right.
His motivation...
Right.
Hold on, Jim. I got to finish this.
Can I point out that... I just saw what you did there.
You got to let him finish it.
I just saw what Emery did there with you've met Jews, blah, 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 blah. That's why they should die, etc. But I will point out that the way you did that was a joke structure that almost certainly a Jew came up with.
Exactly.
Okay. Someone make a note of that because that's going in the show description right there. Here's the bottom line. None of the actions of any atheists who did horrible things were motivated or supported by their belief system. And what you're suggesting, Glenn, is a really horrific suggestion because what you're saying is atheists don't have morality or ethics and that's why they do
that's
the things they
said,
do.
That's not what I said,
Emery. That's what you're suggesting, Glenn.
No, that's not what I'm suggesting. Okay, go ahead. What I'm putting to you is if you give me those four people, if you give me Chairman Mao, you give me Stalin, you give me Hitler, you give me Pol Pot, all of them atheists.
Yes, what's your point?
If they had all been Lutherans... Mm-hmm. That had done it for different reasons, would you be able to look past the Lutheranism?
It depends on what their belief system empowers. Let me answer your question. It depends on what their belief system empowers, encourages, and lets them do based on what their belief system tells them to do. That's the difference, my friend. It's complete and total difference.
Don't you think it's a coincidence? Is it a coincidence or is it controlled by a higher power?
Nice turn, Glenn. Nice turn. Well, it's not a coincidence at all because there are many, many people who of religious faith have acted on their faith.
Yeah, but nobody's put up those kind of numbers, Emery. I'm just saying to me, it's a bit, you know, four times.
George Bush is getting close to those kind of numbers,
no, he's
my
not.
Friend.
Emery, don't be silly.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I heard, I think I know what Emery's talking about. He's talking about... Christopher Hitchens, you know, he was doing that debate, and he was talking about the belt buckle and God we trust or whatever. What was the actual phrase?
It's the actual,
God with us.
It's God with us. It's
yeah.
Gott
I've read it. Yeah, I've read a lot of books on Hitler. I think that he knew what he was doing, and he used religion to control the masses. I think he eventually wanted to get rid of Christianity and Judaism and replace it with a Nordic philosophy.
Well, the other like problem, the other problem is that guys like Pol Pot aren't non-religious, even though they're atheists. They become the gods. Yeah. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, they're communists.
They're replacing
their religion.
That's exactly right. They're replacing their religion, and they're replacing God with themselves. That's what's going on. So it's very similar to religious fervor.
Communism
well,
is
that's
very
why,
similar
that's
to
why
religious
I'm saying
fervor.
You should be careful with it.
With what?
Atheism.
What you're saying isn't accurate, Glenn. Atheism is not the reason anybody did any of those things. Not any.
Well, yeah,
all atheism is, and what you're doing is you're making people think they have a reason to fear me and Matt.
That's not what I'm doing, Emery.
Well, that is what happens here. That's exactly what's going on.
No,
it's a demonization.
Is your point that in the absence of religion, people clamor for something similar to replace it.
Now nature abhors a vacuum.
If that's your point, my friend, you got a good point, actually. You have a really good
Buddhist
point.
Well, the Buddhist was atheist, and he didn't go around killing a bunch of people, so I agree with Emery.
He was too fat. He couldn't chase anybody.
It depends on which one you're looking at.
Which Buddhist?
Yeah, the Thai one's pretty slender.
He is, isn't
like,
he?
I would.
Yeah.
That's
why Hitler would kill
you. Basically, Buddha's like an Elvis, or is it before and after?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Like Thailand's
cool
the comeback
thing
special.
About Buddhism, the cool
Jim,
thing
go
about
ahead.
Buddhism is that we can all be the Buddha.
The cool thing about Buddhism is we can all be the Buddha. Now we're getting back to.
So he is like Elvis.
We all are the Buddha. What's not cool about Christianity is if someone says, I'm Jesus, I'm the Christ, that's kind of creepy. But if you say, I'm the Buddha, a Buddhist will go, you're right. We all are the Buddha.
That works everywhere except in Spanish-speaking countries where lots of people are Jesus.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Ardent Atheist is made possible by a love of reading. I gotta tell you, that was for Jim. He's the biggest reader I fucking know. And
what's the last book you read, Emery?
What is the last book I've read? The last book I'm currently reading, Brendan Burns' book.
How long has that taken you?
It's actually not bad.
I gotta be serious.
But all right. So ghosts amaze me that you can believe in ghosts. I swear to God, Johnny, I don't understand it because
having an experience does that. I mean, I didn't believe until I had an experience. I've had two, and
let's hear it.
Well, the first one took place back on a farm in Wisconsin, and
we all had experiences around there.
Yeah, well,
it wasn't. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe anything until that happened, and then
it was very weird because there was a sound of a wagon, like an old. Like
threshing machines just are so tempting. Sorry, anyway.
there was. It sounded like there was a covered wagon going around the house constantly for almost an hour, and there was nothing out there. It was very bizarre. But the most recent I had,
and no explanation you can think of.
No. I was 15 at the time. So.
Did you walk outside?
No. Yeah. Well, five of us went outside. You know,
you're hearing this noise.
Yeah. The family that I was my relatives. Because my parents would send me back there. Because let's face it, 15 in L.A. in the 70s. Yeah, you want to get your kid out of there as quickly
right.
as possible.
Covered wagon.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're hearing like horses.
Yeah, exactly. Just going around the house, like doing circles, like doing laps around the house.
Fucking incredible.
And we all go out there and we're looking and scratching. Nothing at all. But we hear it. We hear it almost like Doppler going by us, and then all of a sudden it fades away as it goes around the back of the house, comes back around again.
Yeah, and this
very very weird.
In the 18th century, they didn't have Doppler yet.
Yeah, I know. No, yeah, but no, yeah. It was just the
it
sound.
It just starts and stops. It's very very analog. The sound. So,
but the
what's
second
the, other one?
The second experience is more recent. A friend of mine passed away, and some of you may know him, Andrew Koenig. He played Boner on Growing Pains, Walter Koenig's son from Star Trek. He committed suicide last year, and he was one of my world news correspondents on the Damage Report. And we had quite a few chats, and that's when I discovered he was depressed and everything else. At about 4 in the morning. And mind you, Johnny is not my birth name. So it's not something I dream about or I would think subconsciously.
Right.
It would be John. But about 4 in the morning, as loud as could be, his voice shouted Johnny right in my face. To where I didn't see him. I just it was that close. And I opened my eyes and went, what? And there was nothing there.
Yeah, that's a dream, brother.
I wasn't dreaming about him.
You didn't have a boner.
It doesn't matter what
you
were dreaming about.
No, no. No, but I was moist.
He had that experience in his mind. The brain is, there's more connections in the brain than there are stars in the universe. I mean, it's like this 3-pound.
Is that possibly
universe.
True? Is that? Hold on, hold on, hold on. That can't
wait
fucking possibly be true. There's more connections in the brain than there are stars in the universe.
Yeah,
Matt,
four.
Hold on. You shut up, and
no, I don't know. Matt, there's Matt. A shitload of connections in the brain. I don't know whether that.
Are we talking trillions? Are we talking?
There is billions. A ludicrous number of connections in the brain, but there's also a ludicrous number of stars in the galaxy, let alone the universe. So I don't know that.
So did Jim just figure out that the universe is just a brain in something?
Yeah, the universe is your brain.
Please don't tell me I'm nothing but a synaptic
brain.
Function.
Yeah, yeah. That's all we are.
On many nights.
Actually,
that's all I feel.
Actually, if that's an accurate analogy, we're nothing but the virus in some asshole's brain. We
Every
are fucking
time you go out drinking, we kill galaxies.
I have an experience I just remembered that I'd like to bring up and see what you guys think of this. Right before my mom died, I was driving home. I mean, this was as she had died that night. I was driving home. I got there about a block away from the house. I had a very, very upsetting, strange feeling like I needed to rush home right away. I got to the house. I didn't see anything wrong outside. I went upstairs. I noticed that there were all sorts of things left over from the paramedics. I ran upstairs. My roommate said, your mom had a stroke. And I went to the hospital. But I know I felt something as I was approaching my home. As I walked in the house, I went, okay, something's wrong here, but I couldn't confirm it until I walked up the stairs.
Here's my suggestion for this.
All right.
And
I want to hear this.
Your mum's death clearly wasn't a sudden thing, right? She was already ill. She had medication in the house. She was already...
That's correct.
There was already... and it wasn't an unexpected thing either.
Well, I wasn't expecting her to die. I really was just expecting her to be miserable for a while longer.
Strokes are pretty...
Yeah.
But what I would say to that is... If your mum's already ill, if stuff like that's already happening, the feeling that there's something bad possibly looming is not an uncommon thing. And also, the number of times in the weeks, months, whenever leading up to that, when you have a feeling, oh, something's not quite right, and then nothing happens in connection with it, and then you instantly forget the feeling that preceded it.
I don't believe
which is what happens with coincidences. Coincidences all the time. You think that something...
Hold on, Jim.
Here's the thing, people always, I was just thinking about this person and the phone rang and it was them. You think about people thousands of times a day. And normally when they
you
don't then call
you... You
think
about people
more
often than there are suns in the universe.
And then when they don't call you, you suddenly forget that you thought about that person.
Yeah,
and it never registers.
That makes sense.
Let's get to Jim, go ahead.
She's talking about a feeling she had. Forget her feeling about that experience. This is a woman we're talking about. Now, she's got some feelings that she has about certain guys that she meets. Women have had to deal with men for millions of years. And there's a thing that women have where they know, this guy's okay. He's not going to take me home and rape me.
That's not always true, babe.
I know, it's not always true. Sometimes women, they can be drunk or... I mean, my girlfriend's a therapist. She knows. There's some things that women know. I need to get out of this situation. Why do they know that? Is it logical? Is it reasonable? No. They just know something's about to happen. Get the fuck out of this
situation. How often in your presence does this happen?
It happens to Jim every time he drinks in a bar.
Exactly.
You're a woman.
That's why I have to trick him. But I'm just saying that she is talking about an intuitive...
Now, I think we should put a little bit of backstory on what Jim's talking about. I was staying at Jim's house...
What are you going to talk about? How I said the word cunt or something?
I wasn't going to tell that story on you, but we'll get to that one next now that you mentioned
it. Oh, do tell.
I was staying at Jim's house. I'll tell you two stories. I was staying at Jim's house this particular couple of weeks working a gig up in Seattle, and Inman's girlfriend / wife, you guys were married, right, you and Tracy?
Yeah, I was married
for
10 years.
So he was married to Tracy. Tracy is maybe the most insecure wife of a friend I've ever known in my life. And she was furious that I was spending 2 weeks on their couch. And at some point, we all, myself, and Tracy, we went out to some bar. They'd had a couple of drinks. I'm not a drinker. And the next thing you know, Tracy disappears for a solid 10 or 15 minutes into the bathroom, comes out, doesn't look disheveled or anything, just kind of looks, she just looks anxious. And she sits down at the bar and begins to tell us a story about how a girl in the bathroom raped her. And then she describes the story, and it's not even remotely rape. It's just erotica. And then we're Jim, did we get in the car after this?
I think I remember her telling that story, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Jim is convinced that his wife is I think she was lying, by the way, first of all. Totally lying.
Yeah. It could be true.
And there was another episode that same night, I think. No, it was the next day. Jim was driving with her. They had some sort of fight. He shows up at the house. I go, "Where the hell's Tracy?" We got in a fight, and I just let her out on the highway. And so she shows up back at the house X amount of hours later and then tells a story about how she got picked up by a guy on the highway and was raped again by that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So
that doesn't negate that women have intuition.
No. This what it
her intuition told her to lie.
Yeah,
to her.
That's what I wanted. It proves that one doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's the exception.
Sounds to me like she has a fantasy. Actually, it's what she does.
What she wanted was attention from Jim, and she was pissed off that he and I were hanging out, and we weren't even having a great time. Inman's kind of a dick. Yeah. I mean, at one point, I come in with cookies, and I go, "You want some cookies?" And he's like, "God damn it, Emery, alcoholics don't like sugar." I mean, that's the kind of week we were having. He was just being an asshole.
I know. My ex-wife lied to me. However, here's the weird thing. She may have been making up those stories to get attention, but I'll tell you this much. I'll just say this. It's a podcast. I don't care. I fucked around with my wife, all right? And I lived with her.
What?
Yes.
Very Buddhist of
you. I fucked around on three wives.
Were any of the Mormons?
Here's my point. I fucked around with my wife.
The Mormon report.
10 years. Let me finish. And she fucking knew every time
of
I fucked around.
Of course she knew.
They do. All three of my ex-wives.
That's just you being a bad liar.
Yeah, that's exactly all it is. Jim can't tell a story to save his life.
It's not showering at the house before you leave. That's what it is.
I came into the house, and I don't know how she knew. You stop it, Jim. I'm going to tell right now why she knew. I'll tell you why.
Oh, really?
I come into the house. All the alcohol that I had been saving from my trips to St. Martin, which was these Beaujolais that you buy once a year, I had all these, and one of the bottles was completely gone. We had been gone for a number of hours. We come in, and I walk in the house, and I said, "Jim, did you drink all the Beaujolais?" And he goes, literally said to me, "No, what the fuck? Just because they smell like liquor, it was yours?" That's how he lies.
No,
that's his ability
about
lying. That's how good he is of a liar.
No, what, just because the smell of another woman, it was another woman?
Yeah, and I walk. That's exactly right. I walk in the kitchen, and our Beaujolais bottle's in the trash can. And I say, "There's the fucking Beaujolais bottle." And he goes, "How do you know I drank it?" And I said, "You're the only
that's
guy that."
That's not how it happened, Emery. And by the way, your ex-girlfriend.
Don't add a raccoon to the story now, James. The horse is bolted.
Anyway.
By the way, when you drank the Beaujolais, I hope it was slightly chilled, because that's how you're supposed to drink it.
No, I did not. I remember I did not drink that fucking wine, Emery. Your ex-girlfriend ended up in an actual physical mental institution. Have I ever been to a mental institute? No.
No, that just means that Reagan did a really good job of tearing the system apart.
If you'd ever gotten close, this podcast would not have been possible.
All right, no. Look, women know when you fuck around. And I'll give you another example. One time I was on the road for 3 weeks. There's no fucking way she could have known.
How did she?
You had only cheated four times.
I told her I was going out performing, not fucking women.
I had only cheated at three times at that point. How could she possibly figure out that I would do it a fourth?
Yeah, what part of the road did we not
get? It's not reasonable, but I'm telling you, they know.
Jim, I watch what you think is magic from women, and it's nothing more than deep and disturbing insecurity. She, just like we were talking about earlier, Matt said, he said very clearly that thousands of times a day you think these kinds of thoughts.
Okay.
Then when the phone rings and it's someone that you were thinking about, you think it's magical when in fact it's statistically probable. Thousands, no. More times than there are stars in the universe, your wife thought, Inman is cheating on me. Mm-hmm. And then every time you cheated, she was accurate. And that's only four.
Okay, but here's a question I pose to you, Emery, and it's a reason why I am agnostic and atheist. When I was a young man, I had a dream that I won $10,000 on a scratch ticket. I dreamt the location. A thing that I don't often do. I never really played scratch tickets. And then 2 months later, because I had an extra dollar left over when I was buying cigarettes in that shop, I won $10,000 on a scratch ticket.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
All I know to say is I have a lot of trouble believing it.
No, but, I mean, that happened.
There are parts. I mean, we only use a small part of our brain.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I don't use much of mine at all.
No,
but
we use every part of our brain at various times.
That's an old misnomer.
Any tiny amount of brain damage affects you. Like, there's no... If you only used whatever, it's normally 10% is the figure that's quoted, but if you knock out 90% of your brain, you're not going to be very effective.
Well, no.
And it's not just because you got the wrong bit.
Well, it's never been true. That's been said many times over, and it's never been true.
Well, I have to say something like that happened to me as well.
What?
Actually, something like that happened to me, too. I was very, very young. I was at some fair. I went up at one of those little games where you throw a ball, and it gets in a cup, and then you win a prize. I was little. I said, Mom, I want that beautiful bride doll that's up there. She said, oh, okay. And she gave me a dollar. I went and I could barely stand over the wall. And he gave me three balls. I took the first ball. I threw it in the cup. He says, what would you like? I said, I want that right there. I came back to my mother and said, I got it. And she was shocked to shit.
That was just a goal. That was a goal that you achieved.
It wasn't magic. It was just kind of the same thing. I said, hey, I have a vision. I had of this thing.
But what makes his special is $10,000.
Here's two things I do think, though. Firstly, there is a possibility that dream is exactly as you remembered. Although you didn't write it down after the dream. There was no thing that you wrote down immediately after that dream with those details. That preceded the buying the ticket.
In other words, there's no proof that you actually...
But this is the thing.
No, it happened, man.
There are two things. Firstly, memory does do interesting things. It can rewrite itself after the fact. The specific details of it can be changed. And secondly, pure coincidences like that do happen. Crazy coincidences.
I also...
There's every chance you would have bought that ticket and it would have come to nothing. And you would have thought, oh, well, and then forgotten about that story forevermore.
I used to have a reoccurring dream about seeing UFOs on a small island, though.
You're saying
Manhattan would be a small island?
Wait. So you're connecting that dream.
These are two... Because
New York is an island? I mean, help me out, really, honestly.
Well, that's pretty close, too.
Well, now we've gone from saying that there's no God to that there's no psychic ability or
there is no psychic ability, and if you can prove it, you can have $1 million.
Oh, God.
And that's just a fact.
No, but I'm just asking you what you think those were. I mean, those are things.
I think
he's right. I think
they're a combination of your brain does weird shit when you're in the dream state anyway, and really plays around with your memory. I think that's one of the possible factors. There's been huge numbers of studies of the interesting stuff that your memory can do retrospectively. People who've been through certain experiences and the way they remember that event after the fact doesn't match up with recorded evidence of what actually happened.
Well, every time a study of this kind is done,
fascinating things that have happened. You know, when there's been some sort of public attack and there's CCTV and people's description of the events. The day after doesn't match and changed, and they will believe absolutely adamantly that this is exactly what happened. Your memory is a very inaccurate thing in many ways. But and then also that combined with, I do think the sheer number of things that you think, the sheer number of dreams that you have. You have, in theory, a couple of dreams a night, 365 nights a year. And if any of those come close to true, you remember that. If they don't, then they just pass off and just disappear back into the ether.
What mm-hmm. are the odds of winning the lottery?
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the lottery, but we'll say millions to one.
All right, now what are the odds of you dreaming about that before
and winning the lottery?
It could happen.
Well, just because the odds are astronomical doesn't mean that they're not.
No. What I will say to that,
Matt's got this.
The odds of, for a start, it wasn't winning. It was winning the 10,000.
Sure. But what are the odds? But $10,000.
But the odds of that are pretty small. They're pretty slim. But on the other hand, numerous people do it every week, because even though the odds are slim, many, many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people play it. In the same way, the odds of that coincidence is extremely slight, but the number of potential opportunities for coincidence that you have is extremely large, and that's why they happen.
Well, then, my question to Matt is, why do human beings notice coincidence? Because we notice patterns.
Because that's the way you're wired to work. That's the way your brain is designed to spot patterns. In many ways, it's nowhere near as accurate as a computer, but it
the brain
picks
wasn't
out
designed, Matt. It was evolved.
The same reason you spot the man in the moon. The same reason you see patterns in random numbers.
It's your
same
mind trying to make sense of stuff out of order.
Same reason that you believe that your wife has magical powers and can out you for being an asshole.
I don't think
because,
it's magical.
Because if you took in every non-coincidence, every non-pattern, every non-connection that you take in on a second-by-second basis, your brain couldn't cope. It would overload with the data. So it singles out the patterns and the order, and that's the things that it takes in. That's the thing that it memorizes.
And I'm dubious. I don't think necessarily – and please understand when I say this, Glenn, I'm not calling you a liar. In fact, I'll preface this, and we got to go soon, but I'm going to preface that with, I thought I saw a UFO. Who's raping Jim right now? How
he
could
dropped
Jim,
his bong.
You know, I had a dream
it's
that
the
Jim.
Woman from the bar.
I had a dream that Jim brought my podcast to a screeching halt by being anally raped by an intruder at the end of the show. Jim, are you okay?
I have to go to the bathroom. Finish your story. I got it on speakers.
You're not. And on that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave this podcast. I want to thank my guests, Matt Kirshen, Glenn Wool, Johnny Dam, James Inman, for being here today. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you for being here today.
Today. Right. We're going to fix that in post. Thanks. Now I'm going to leave it that way. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and Johnny Dam of New Dissident Radio. Thank you so much for having us in the family.
Thank you for being a part of it.
I
glad
just want
to
say that today's music was courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson.
Travis is his nickname, and he's awesome. And he actually created this music specifically and originally just for the podcast. Thank you so much, Travis.
It was
Eric
divine
Wilson.
Intervention.
It was not divine intervention. It was the art of a great atheist.
He did it with a soul.
This is soulless music.
You decide. We'll listen to the music and see if there's a God.
That's it for episode 2. I am Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
Thank you so much. Tune in next week where my guests will be Jim Jeffries, Susanna Wong, and Rick Overton. We will be talking about spirituality, blasphemy, and the shape of the Asian vagina. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
There is no God.
New Dissident Radio. Keep your dissonance. What? Fuck, no. That's wrong. Shit. I totally fucked it up. I'm gonna do it again. New Dissident Radio. Keep your dissonance. Hey, I did it. Fuck me.